Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, so that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our second scripture reading comes from Psalm 119, which begins on page 566 of your Pew Bible. Listen to God's word. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous ordinances, I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, so that I may live and observe your word. Open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I live as an alien in the land. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me their scorn and contempt, for I have kept your decrees. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, when was the last time that someone asked you your favorite Bible verse? You know that you are traveling in evangelical circles when you hear this question. Some of you might say John 3:16, as Lou shared with us this morning. There's always Psalm 23. But that can be a little depressing because people might get worried about the state of your health if you quote that too much. Somehow we associate that with being sick. My cousins in California each have chosen for themselves a life verse that they consider relates to them and God's call for their life. And my mother's life verse was Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. So that tells you a little bit about her and the meaning of baptism and how she felt God was working in her life. At one point, my mom had chapter and verse, Philippians 3:10, inscribed on a ring that she wore every day. If you ask someone his or her favorite verse and they say 2 Timothy 3:16, you can be pretty sure that that's a conservative person. And they might even be a fundamentalist. After all, most liberal or mainline Christians agree that we should really know the Bible. But we did not spend that much time actually sitting down and reading it. Conservatives are proud of being what we might call Bible know-it-alls, but Christians like us are in danger of becoming Bible know-nothings. Ooh, did I dare say that? In previous sermons, I have shared why I think we mainline Protestants have failed to make the Bible more central in our daily lives. There was a general de-emphasis on Scripture in the 1960s, in Sunday school because church leaders wanted to make Sunday school more relevant to kids' lives. They thought children should learn Christian virtues such as kindness, friendliness, helpfulness, being a good neighbor, without being made to memorize Bible verses. Memory verses were then regarded as old-fashioned and counterproductive because they stressed rote memory over enacted Christian faith. So the idea behind that movement was to introduce Christian faith without calling too much attention to it. Children were raised to be good citizens, and that was considered synonymous with being good Christians. Today, what we're seeing is a sort of backlash against that kind of generic teaching because we realize now it didn't work. We see that we basically kind of threw out the baby with the bathwater. I preached a few months ago about this amazing book by Kenda Creasy Dean, Almost Christian, What Our Teachers Are Telling the American Church. So what she did was she analyzed a recent thorough study that over a number of years was conducted with a follow-up study of American teenagers across our country. And she came to the conclusion that the church has failed to pass along the fullness of the Christian faith to our youth. We thought that we could use secular forms from pop culture and in that way shape the faith of our youth. In order to talk about the true secular content that's meaningful. But that's like putting cod liver oil in high C. No one wants to drink cod liver oil, so you have to disguise it with something else. But is the Bible really like cod liver oil? Something that we know is good for us, but nothing we really want to spend time learning? Our children and youth deserve more. They deserve to know the fullness of God's love for them. They deserve to develop a genuine wisdom based on truth and to become mature Christians who can speak about their faith in a clear and meaningful way. As the Apostle Peter advises us in his first letter to the church, chapter 3, verse 15, always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. How can we be ready to do that if we don't teach them? It's not their fault if we don't communicate the gospel properly to them. It's our fault, the fault of the church. Well, our church has done a good job in recent years of redeveloping the sense of learning Bible verses. For example, we made learning the verse of the day a lot of fun in Vacation Bible School. Our leaders chose curriculum that included dynamic songs, and the words of them, for some of them, were actually the Bible verse for the day. One of them was from Psalm 119 that I just read. I have kept your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. And they were invited, if they wanted to memorize the verse, they could get a silly band. And it was a fun way to bring scripture into their hearts and into our minds. And I know that I'm still singing some of those songs, and it's become part of our story together as a congregation, the fun that we had in Vacation Bible School, building on what they're learning from year to year. Well, this year, our youth ministry has taken on more of an emphasis in our time of fellowship on studying scripture, and our theme for the year is the Ten Commandments. And they have done a great job of really responding in creative ways to what the Lord's commandments are for us in our daily life. And our seminarian, Kurt Heinemann, has written beautiful lessons that actually helped us to see it in a personal way, to apply it and see how it applies in our life. So I would say we probably don't want to become Christians who wear their piety on their sleeve. There were good reasons for the rebellion in the 1960s against rote learning and emphasizing memorization. The point of the Christian life is not to memorize absolutely everything in the Bible, but instead to live a biblical existence. Memorization is a means to an end, and not an end in itself. You probably heard recently about the big to-do when an IBM computer called Watson competed against two humans on Jeopardy. The two contestants, Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, were both former champions, but Watson won the contest. I didn't see it myself, but Gaylord French talked about it with our confirmation class and our youth class recently. Would it be possible for a computer to replace Lou and me? He said, sure. We can install Pastor Watson in the pulpit, and he could spit out answers to congregational questions, quoting relevant Bible verses on demand. And then we could also maybe outsource the congregation with mini Watsons, and we could all go out for coffee during worship. Obviously, just memorizing the Bible is not the point. We already have really good tools for looking up biblical verses quickly and conveniently. For example, I have an app on my iPad that will take any keyword I give it and immediately give me every single verse from the Old Testament to the New Testament and even the Apocrypha so that I can find out everything the Bible says about a certain word. And frequently, I'll have a phrase of scripture in mind and I'll be like, wait, where exactly is that? And instead of flipping through the pages of my Bible, I just click on this app on my iPad, and it finds it for me. So it's very easy. But I'm not worried about being replaced by an iPod app. The work of ministry is much more about getting to know people and what is going on in their lives, and then bringing God's word to bear on it in a way that is meaningful, in a way that touches us, and that we can see that God is speaking to us by his Spirit. It's amazing. God speaks to us even now through his living word. A few weeks ago, we were talking about the Holy Spirit in confirmation class, who he is, what he does. And we saw that Jesus promised that his Spirit will guide us into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will declare to you the things of the Lord. God's word is a treasury of wisdom, filled with the mercies of the Lord. One of the professors of Old Testament, Dr. Siao at Princeton Seminary, said, one time he sat down, he read through the whole Old Testament, and he found grace, God's grace, somewhere on every page. It's true. The Bible is our sure guide in times when we are perplexed. Through it, our Savior comforts and encourages us. And in times of joy, Scripture gives voice beautifully, eloquently, to the praises we wish to offer from our hearts. Truly knowing God's word by the power of his Spirit is what brings meaning and hope and stability to our lives. We can never exhaust the riches that are in God's word. Psalm 19 extols the wonders of God whose word gives life. Happy are those who live by his precepts and delight in his teaching. We heard the beginning of this psalm of praise, and you may know that it was written as an acrostic, meaning the first letter of each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, starting with A and then B and so on. And this one is unique because it's the longest psalm in the Bible, and each section is a stanza, eight stanzas, each one beginning with the appointed letter of the alphabet before it moves on to the next one. And James Kugel, a professor of Hebrew literature at Harvard, wrote this excellent book that I recommend to you. It's The Great Poems of the Bible, A Reader's Companion with New Translations. And part of his translation of this psalm is on the letter Kof. And so that's like the letter Q. I just wanted to share with you, it's amazing how he managed to get Q into each of these verses. I just want to read it to you from this section. Listen for the letters that start with Q. Your statutes are quite wondrous. For that reason, my soul carefully guards them. To quote your words is enlightening, and even the foolish are brought to understand. Winded and out of breath, I am still in quest of your commandments. Attend to me and be kind to me, quite as you do with those who love your word. Quicken my steps as you promised, and do not let evil rule over me. Quell the oppression against me, so that I may keep your precepts. Quench your servant's thirst for knowledge. Teach me your laws. My eyes have wept quantities of tears for those who do not keep your teaching. That's from James Kugel. Learning scripture is the greatest gift that we can give to our children. This brings us back to 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you in salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. And here we see the vital role of our Sunday school teachers and our nursery school teachers. They are led by our board who are commissioned today. From earliest childhood, the youngsters in our midst should hear the good news of Jesus. Sing the praises of God as they do, learning the songs that they will remember and keep singing. To grow, to trust the Lord who is always present to us by his Spirit. And likewise, our elders and deacons, who will be ordained and installed this morning as a response to God's promises in this sermon. The elders are to be diligent in studying the Bible, since they bear the responsibility for discerning God's will as they make decisions to lead the church's ministries through the committees. Likewise, our deacons need to know God's word so that they can share passages with those they visit as they write their caring cards to people, and in fulfilling the ministries that they do to show God's love in our community of faith and our wider community. As Lou said recently, each of us can do more to study the Bible, to get to know God better. Knowing God is our goal, and scripture is really the best way to begin. You might enjoy the insights of a life application study Bible, or talking with others in a Bible study group where you can ask questions and share what's going on in your faith journey. I find that it's fun to read books by people who really know scripture and maybe are writing about God's word. So this one, I have a bibliography for Liam Moy in case we want to add these books to the church library. I recently read Eugene Peterson's Tell It Slant, A Conversation on the Language of Jesus in His Stories and Prayers. This is really good, about the Gospels. And then others have written about people in Scripture. So Beverly Roberts Gaventa is a New Testament professor at Princeton Seminary. She wrote this excellent book, Mary, Glimpses of the Mother of Jesus. And she's looking at it from a literary point of view, from the Gospels and Acts, and what we can see there, glimpses of Mary. And even in our own congregation, we have worshiping with us Gretchen Hull, who has been just a scholar of Scripture and taken God's word and look at it from a thematic point of view, equal to serve women and men working together, revealing the gospel. I was so inspired by this book. I read it recently, and we have a copy of it in our church library. And so these are just some ways that maybe if you feel that you've read scripture and you want to go a little deeper, there are so many resources for us that I recommend to you. And God will surely bless us as we seek to grow through his word. Maybe we won't turn into Bible know-it-alls, but we don't have to be a Bible know-nothing either. Amen.